بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Respected elders and dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created time. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain times better than others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made some months and days and nights better than others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made some seasons of worship better than others. There is this disparity in time. Why? So that when that special time arrives, the time or the moment or the month or the season that enjoys supremacy over other times, we are encouraged to do more. We are encouraged to exert ourselves even more in order to draw from the goodness, the khair, the benefits and the rewards that are contained within that special moment, that special time, that special season of worship. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is the most inclusive attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most salient attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are so many different ways through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses His mercy. And by creating disparity in time, by creating this imbalance in time, by creating some times, some periods, some moments better than others, this is an expression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, because Allah gives us an opportunity through that disparity in time to earn His mercy and His forgiveness. We have just entered into the greatest season of worship. The first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ahadith are replete with the virtues and the significance and importance of this season of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He swears multiple oaths by this season of worship. The first 10 days and nights of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Today is the second of Dhul-Hijjah. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَصْرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on Al-Fajr. Al-Fajr refers to the dawn and the time of Fajr when it sets in. That period is known as Fajr, and then the period that follows it with the rising of the sun, that is known as Shuruq. That is why the salah that's offered in that time is called Ishraq Salah, or Salatul Ishraq. The salah that we offer at the time of Fajr, that is called Salatul Fajr. And then you have duha, the mid-morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam and He's taking an oath on al-fajr. Which fajr? Which dawn is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath on? The ulama explain al-fajr, the dawn, the fajr, the morning of the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of Eid. For the haji, that is a very busy day. The haji, on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, it is the busiest day, an activity-filled day for the haji, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. He starts off the day with wukuf at Muzdalifah, and thereafter he proceeds, he goes towards Mina, and there he engages in the pelting. Thereafter, the slaughtering of the animal, that is followed by the shaving of the head, which is then followed by the tawafus ziyarah. The haji, he has no Eid Salah on the day of Eid. Why? Because the pelting of the jamarat, the pelting of the shaitan, that replaces the Eid Salah. While we offer Eid Salah on the day of Eid, they do not have Eid Salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala impresses the significance of that morning, wal fajr. Allah takes a qasam on that morning, the morning of the day of Eid, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a second oath. And when Allah azza wa jal takes an oath on something, it is to highlight the importance and the significance of that which he takes an oath upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah takes a qasam on 10 nights. Which nights does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take a qasam upon? The 10 nights of the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Again, highlighting the significance of each and every one of these nights. وَالشَّفْعِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes a third qasam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and by the even numbered day, which is the even numbered day, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Mufassirin explains. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on the morning of that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on the entire day. He swears by the entire day of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Wal watr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on the odd numbered day, which is the odd numbered day, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah. The day preceding the day of Eid, which is the greatest day in the Islamic calendar. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on the night. Which night is this? The night that precedes the day of Eid. The night when the Hujjaj are in Muzdalifah. A unique way of taking an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the entire season of worship. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon certain components within that whole, and parts from the entire season of worship. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the greatness of these days and the significance of these days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith that ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله. There are no other days in which an action is more beloved to Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam than the action that is performed during these 10 days and nights of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Whatever action you perform, whether it is a fast that you observe, whether it is the charity that you give, whether it is the salah that you offer, whether it is the act of kindness that you display, whatever you do, whatever good you do, during the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah, it is incomparable to any other good deed that you may perform during any other time of the year. Sahaba was surprised when they heard Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making the statement. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, walal jihad fi sabidillah. O Nabi of Allah, we have learned, we understand that there is no action and no good deed that is greater and more significant and more rewarding than striving in the path of Allah, fighting against the enemy. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the good deed that you perform during the first 10 days and nights of the month of Dhul Hijjah is even better than jihad in the way of Allah. The fast that you observe carries greater reward than the jihad that is carried out outside of the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. The charity that you give is greater than the jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is performed outside of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, but there is a man who goes out in jihad fi sabilillah and he takes up arms against the enemy of Allah, and he surrenders his life for the sake of Allah, he becomes a martyr, then yes, there is no deed that surpasses that deed in virtue. That is the greatest sacrifice and the greatest offering that one can ever make before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about a meeting that Musa alayhi salam had with Allah. وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we gave Musa alayhi salam an appointment. We prescribed a time for him to meet with us, and the appointment lasted for a period of 30 days. وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى 30 layla, 30 days, 30 nights. وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then we added another 10. We perfected the 30 by adding another 10. We completed the 30 by extending the time period, and we added another 10 days. So it now became 40 layla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, our appointment with Musa alayhi salam, during which Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to him, during which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him, during which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him the divine scripture, it lasted for 40 days. Ulama explained that the 10 additional days were the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. So these 10 days, they carried significance, and they were considered as holy, and they were considered as great, even in the time of Musa alayhi salam. During these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfect the deen of Islam. The deen of Islam, it reached its perfection, it reached its ripeness, it reached its completion during the 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah says today, which day was that? It was the day of Arafah, the great day of Arafah, which we will inshallah witness next week Friday. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he says the Jumu'ah, the Friday that falls within the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah, is a Friday that carries greater significance than any other Friday. So today, this Jumu'ah that Allah has allowed us to observe, this Jumu'ah is greater than last week's Jumu'ah. This is perhaps one of the greatest Jumu'ahs this year. And next week, it's a double Eid. We have the day of Jumu'ah and also the day of Arafah. May Allah allow us to observe the day of Arafah as it ought to be observed. So perfection of this deen of ours. Allah has blessed us with a perfect deen. A deen that governs every aspect of our lives. There is absolutely no need for us to look and to study and to be in awe of any other lifestyle, any other culture, any other teaching that exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawm, today, akmaltu lakum deenakum. Your deen, the way of life that I have chosen for you, Islam, it has reached its perfection. There is no other deen, there is no other way, there is no other lifestyle, there is no other system that enjoys the perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon the deen that we enjoy. So it is an opportunity for us to reflect over the level of deen in my life during these 10 days and these 10 nights. Deen is perfect. Have I perfected deen in my life? In every department of my life, whether it is my spiritual obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is my monetary arrangements and my financial dealings, whether it is my social conduct and whether it is my mannerisms and etiquettes, whether it is my domestic life, the way I am leading myself within the confines of my home and so on and so forth. Have I acquired that perfection? And am I striving towards excellence and perfection within my life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere in the Quran, He speaks about the significance of these days and what we should be doing during these days. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they remember the name of Allah on these appointed days. These are days of dhikr. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, in these days Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to remember Allah. What is the prescribed dhikr of these days? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prescribed a dhikr for us. What should we be reciting all the time during these days and during these nights, while we are driving to work, while we are driving to school, while we are getting back from college, when we are going to the masjid, when we are going to madrasa, when we are going to the hifz class, wherever we may be, always engaged in dhikr. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهَا التكبير والتحميد والتهليل. Say الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. Both Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, both of them during the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, they would go into the marketplace and loudly they would proclaim the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Others who would hear them would also proclaim the takbir, and they would recite the takbir. The Sahaba explained that the Suq of Medina, that was established by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the marketplace of Al-Madinatul Munawwarah, would be pulsating and vibrating with the takbir that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prescribed for us. So we should engage in this dhikr throughout the day as often as possible. Engage in this dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ja'far ibn Sulaiman rahimahullah, he says, Ra'aytu thabitan al-bunani rahimahullah yaqta'u hadithahu fi ayyam al-ashr. A friend of mine, another great pious person, he says, I observed that during the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, he would discontinue all unnecessary talk. All unnecessary talk. And he would say, Hadhihi ayyamu dhikr. These are the days of dhikr. Why should I waste these precious, precious moments engaged in unnecessary talk when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed such a beautiful dhikr for us to recite during these days? And he would be continuously reciting the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in another hadith, and this hadith alone is a hadith that should motivate us to exert ourselves. Treat this as a mini Ramadan. That is what it is. We look forward to Ramadan. Why? We see it as an opportunity for us to excel and to exert ourselves in doing good and doing khair and earning rewards, earning Allah's forgiveness, earning the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to many, many ulama, in fact, there is consensus amongst the ulama that the first 10 days and nights of the month of Dhul-Hijjah are even better than the first 20 days and nights of the month of Ramadan. There's consensus amongst the ulama regarding that. There's difference of opinion amongst them with regards to the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan and the first 10 days and nights of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. According to majority, the first 10 days of this month of Dhul-Hijjah are better than even the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, because these 10 days contain within them the greatest day, which is the day of Arafah. And the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan is better than the first 10 nights of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, because the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, they contain within them the greatest night, and that is Laylatul Qadr. Such a great season of worship. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, khayru ayyam ad-dunya, in one narration. Another narration, a'zamu ayyam ad-dunya. A third narration, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, afdalu ayyam ad-dunya, the best days during your worldly existence, the greatest days during your worldly existence, the most significant days during your worldly existence, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ayyam al-ashr, these first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he explains the reason for that. Why are these days so great? Why are these days so significant? He says, because this is the only time during the year when all the main ibadat are carried out. In Ramadan there is no Hajj. In Ramadan there is no Udhiyah, Qurbani, the offering of sacrifice. He says, but in these first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, they are the fasts that you observe, which you observe in the month of Ramadan. Every day you have already stipulated the amount of charity that you are going to give out, which you do in the month of Ramadan. Then you are going to stand up at night in Qiyam, and you are going to offer Salah, optional Salah, Tahajjud Salah, Qiyamul Layl. When a person, ulama explains, when a person wakes up in the latter part of the night, sacrifices his sleep in the latter part of the night, فَإِنَّهُ مُشْتَاقٌ إِلَىٰ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ. That person who desires to meet Allah wakes up at that hour of the night. And we should have this desire to meet Allah. We should never ask for death. Death is not something we should ask for. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had discouraged us from doing so. But we should have desire to meet Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ladhatan nadri ila wajhik. Oh Allah, I beg you, please do not deprive me of the moment of observing your glory. Wa shawqa ila liqa'ik. I beg you, Allah, fill my heart with desire to meet you. The one who wakes up at the time of tahajjud, ulama explain, he is desirous of meeting Allah. When you desire to meet Allah, Allah desires to meet you. Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'a. When you look forward to meeting Allah, Allah looks forward to receiving you. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. The one who dislikes meeting Allah, does not look forward to meeting Allah, fears meeting Allah, Allah dislikes meeting such a person. Allah does not look forward to such a person's meeting. So these are nights which are long. Isha is over so early. We can go early to bed, early to rise. Spend time in tahajjud. Those are moments during which Allah will give you what He does not give you any other time. Those are moments wherein you connect with Allah. The difference between Ramadan and this season of worship, here you have Hajj. May Allah accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj. And you have Udhiyah, Qurbani. So Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he says that this season of worship, it is jami'u ummahat al-ibadah. It is the gatherer of all types of ibadah. And that's what makes the season of worship so great and so significant. Just quickly, how we can spend these last 10 days or these first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Let us try our level best to observe as many fasts as possible during the season of worship, especially the fast of the day of Arafah, which is next week Friday. Let us give out daily charity, spend the last portion of the night in tahajjud. And last but not least, let us mend any relationship that you may have severed. Mend relationships. If there is a, whatever it may be, bitterness or ill feelings that exist between you and your relative, between you and your sibling, whoever it may be, mend that relationship. We always are reminded that forgiveness is first personal and then divine. Let us treat these days and nights with the same level of eagerness and devotion that we would treat the month of Ramadan. Some of the events that took place in this month of Dhul Hijjah was, according to some narrations, the marriage, the nikah of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. We will be observing a nikah before the khutbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the nikah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a source of khair and goodness and barakah and prosperity and happiness and understanding for the families in dunya and akhirah. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the beloved of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived together, and they lived alone for many years. When her beloved mother Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, she was 10 years old. And her other sisters were married, her brothers all passed away while they were young. So she and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up together. In fact, she would take care of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was given the title Ummu Abiha, the mother of her father. When they moved to Madinatul Munawwara and she reached the age of 16, proposals were sent to the home. Many sahaba wanted to marry this great woman. And they understood the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for her. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, naturally, because of the love that he had for her, he did not want to let her go. So sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum would send proposals. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not accept those proposals. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was about 21 years old. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a servant. She was an elderly woman. She was a motherly figure in the life of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And she one day encouraged Ali. She says, "Oh Ali, you are 21 years old. Why don't you propose for Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" He refused. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was extremely poor. He owned nothing. He says, "What do I own? What do I have to offer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She is Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. She is the queen of the women in paradise. I'm a pauper. I have nothing to offer." Nevertheless, she insisted. She insisted until Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu mastered the courage. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was poetic. He was a poet, very eloquent in speech. In fact, we have a compilation of his poetry known as Diwanu Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But he said, "I came and I sat before the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I could not speak. I was lost for words. I did not know what to say." And he began fumbling and mumbling. He could not find the words to request the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Oh Ali, did you come to ask for the hand of Fatima in marriage?" So Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, "Yes, O Nabi of Allah." Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a broad smile on his face said, "Oh Ali, what do you have to offer?" "Oh Nabi of Allah, nothing." So Ali, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ali, you have a shield." Ali radiallahu ta'ala was a warrior. He was such a powerful and mighty man. All he owned was a shield and a horse. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Keep the horse, you are a warrior. A man is not a warrior without his horse." "Ali, go to the market. What is the shield worth?" "Oh Nabi of Allah, it is worth 4 dirhams. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Oh Ali, go and sell it. That will be the mahr. 4 dirhams. Word spreads around Madinatul Munawwara. Everyone in Madinatul Munawwara was waiting for this moment. And everyone wanted to be part of this happy occasion of the marriage of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala who follows Ali radiallahu ta'ala who to the marketplace. He hears that Ali radiallahu ta'ala who is selling his shield, selling it for 4 dirhams. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala who comes up to Ali, he says, "Oh Ali radiallahu ta'ala who take 400 dirhams. 400 dirhams. And that becomes, you know what today you and I know as Mahre Fatimi. 400 dirhams. Don't worry, not 400 Kruger coins. 400 dirhams, 400 silver coins. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala does not object. This is Uthman. Uthman was wealthy. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not fully achieve what he achieved without the wealth of the wealthy. If you look at the expeditions, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always turned to the wealthy ones in the community. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciated the economic support that they gave to the ummah. They had a very, very important role, the wealthy ones in the community. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never stopped them from building a successful economic system. In fact, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who had established the marketplace in Madinatul Munawwara. When he arrived in Medina, he saw the Jews were controlling the economy in Al-Madinatul Munawwara. There was no souq, there was no financial hub, and there was no economic center in Madinatul Munawwara, a marketplace that belonged to the Muslims. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who established the Muslim marketplace in Madinatul Munawwara, which was close to Masjidul Ghamama. Many of us may know where Masjidul Ghamama is. Nevertheless, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam achieved what he achieved primarily with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the wealth of the wealthy ones in the community. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of those wealthy ones who always looked for every opportunity to alleviate the sufferings of the weaker ones in the community, to contribute towards the upliftment of others in the community. So he told Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Here is 400 dirhams, I have bought the shield from you and take the shield back as a wedding gift." He comes in front of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Ali, what do you have? He's excited, he's happy. 400 dirhams. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the 400 dirhams will be the mahar. That will be the dowry. That is what we know today as mahar Fatimi. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Ali, now go and sell the shield. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that it was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala who did Ali radiallahu ta'ala this great favor, he became so happy with Uthman. Allahu Akbar, the amount of dua that he gave Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, not only on this occasion, but on other occasions when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala came forward and contributed the wealth that he had for the expeditions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to undertake. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion when Uthman came with bags of gold and placed it before the Nabi of Allah for a certain expedition, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked up those gold coins and he held them in the hand and he says, whatever Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu does after today, it will never harm him. Jannah is guaranteed for Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and he's the son-in-law, by the way, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was married to Ruqayya, and after the demise of Ruqayya, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got him married to his other daughter, Kulthum. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Ali, now go and sell the shield. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who leaves, he sells the shield for 80 dirhams. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala comes up to him, what do you need? Ali radiallahu ta'ala, no, there's no one there to show him the ropes, what to do? He has no one of his immediate family to help him. The community got involved. Let us help this young man. Let us help him establish his home. And the home of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala takes him to the marketplace. He purchases some perfume and some household items and they come, nikah is performed. The simplicity in that nikah, the love in that nikah, the mahabbah in that nikah. Allahu Akbar. And what stands out, and I'll conclude on this, piece of advice for every one of us and the newlywed, is that both need to be on the same page, have a common objective. And the greatest objective, wallahi, the greatest objective that the two of you can have as husband and wife, that will allow you to enjoy prosperity, happiness, sukoon, goodness, prosperity in dunya and akhirah, make your objective Allah. Make your objective Allah. You are about to board this vehicle. Your direction that you should punch in on your GPS is Jannah. Both of us will help one another get to Allah. When you have Allah on the top, wallahi, there will be such goodness in your home, goodness in your prosperity. There will be such goodness in your progeny. Allah will bless you with khair and goodness and comfort. There must be commonality in interest. And when there is no commonality in interest, there's friction. And when there is friction in the home, there's an unpleasant environment that's created within the home, and the children suffer as a result of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every marriage, every nikah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to make most of these days that lie ahead. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. Inshallah, nikah will take place. Can the nikah parties please come forward?